Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
As you may have realized, I watch a lot of sports. That's why I like Prime Video. It has all my sports in one app, like the National Women's Soccer League, included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite sports in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Whoa, okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. Miller Lite, great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. And as always, please celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
You are listening to The Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It is hour two of the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Jason Smith and Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes today. Doug and I having a big bubble conversation a few minutes ago. We'll continue that with Rick Bucher, who's coming up in about 20 minutes. Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA Insider, as the NBA is getting down to it when we start to see teams report in the coming days. However, this story has kind of blown up in the past 45 minutes or so, so we're going to get to this now for a bit. As on Twitter, about 45 minutes ago, President Donald Trump called out NASCAR driver Bubba Wallace on Monday, saying that a noose found in his garage at Talladega last month was a hoax, and he also is questioning NASCAR's decision to ban the Confederate flag. Here's the quote from President Trump. Has at Bubba Wallace apologized to all of those great NASCAR drivers and officials who came to his aid, stood by his side, and were willing to sacrifice everything for him, only to find out that the whole thing was just another hoax. That and flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever. This is a tweet from President Donald Trump just a few minutes ago on the Bubba Wallace story. As you know, look, Doug, this story honestly was done being a front burner story. It happened. We dealt with it. We talked about it. NASCAR United, which was a great moment. And President Trump is bringing this up again and throws this out here on a Monday morning.
Yeah. I mean, it goes on the back of his speech in South Dakota at Mount Rushmore, you know, which in a moment where you think a leader unites a leader, the leader of the free world divides. I look, do I think that Bubba could have, you know, when he immediately found out or when he was told several times that it had been hanging previously, could he have, you know, was there a different way to handle it? Of course there was. Of course there was. But I would also tell you that, you know, I'm not a black person, but, you know, if somebody says there's a noose hanging in your garage, you know, however long it had been there, or whatever the intent of a garage pull or whatever that somebody that it's alleged to have been, like, I probably would have freaked out too. You know, I mean, like, look, I'm Jewish. If somebody put a swastika in my garage or something that looked like a swastika, I would have been like, what is going on? Well, the swastika has been there for a couple of years. Like, that doesn't change it to me.
Right.
So I understand his freak out, and I do believe that there was a moment where he could have really, really won the day and said, look, obviously it was a misunderstanding in terms of was it directed at me, but I cannot thank my fellow drivers enough. You know, like, we're making these correlations about ratings equating to popularity. I guess, but part of it is fewer and fewer people are watching sports on TV because right now everyone's watching news on TV, or they're just done with everything on TV and they're not watching any of it until sports comes back. So it's a lot. It's loaded. But I don't understand the need to apologize at this point, other than saying it was a misunderstanding, right? Like, that's really what it was.
Yeah, for the beginning, for everything, how it unfolded, I don't see how NASCAR could have done anything differently. Here's the garage. Hey, this is a noose. Wow, this is a noose. NASCAR went and told Bubba Wallace, hey, there's a noose in your garage. Okay. At this point, the story was going to go how it was going to go, because what does it look like if NASCAR says, we're looking into this, and it could be a noose, we're not sure, and then what's the blowback? They can't even admit that it's a noose. In a sport that has made big strides forward with the Confederate flag controversy, saying, listen, it's no longer welcome at our track, suddenly is playing defense. And okay, well, wait. Conversely, if you say, well, with what's gone on with driver Bubba Wallace, we're looking into this and we'll have a statement in a couple of days. We don't want to go crazy on this. Then it's, wait a minute, a noose was found in his garage. How can you say we're investigating? How can you say there was no way NASCAR could come out with anything other than how they did it, how they went? We were going to get to the point where,
look,
boy, there's a little bit of embarrassment because it was there for a while. We don't know how or why it got there. But I don't know how there was going to be anything that was going to change how it went from when the story was first reported to the finding out that, okay, this wasn't put there specifically for Bubba Wallace. It was somehow there fashioned as a rope. I don't know how they would have gotten past any of that point to get to that point of it.
There are ways, but like, look, here, this is, and again, Jason, feel free, like, one of the things that I think you and I have done a really good job of here is we're having a conversation like, this is actually the way it's supposed to go, right? It's in any of these, like, I all people should be like, all right, here's what I think. It doesn't have, we shouldn't necessarily operate in this, there's only one thought, right? Like, there's a bunch. It's even if you go to the NBA and what they're allowing players to put on the back of their jerseys, if you want to open up free speech to make political or, you know, social justice thoughts, then you can't limit it to 10 different things you can say, right? Like, I wouldn't put it on my jersey, and I don't think anybody would, but the idea that you can't put Trump 2020 on the back of your jersey when you can make other political statements, I think is a mistake. I think that's actually limiting free speech. It's doing the opposite of what you're saying you're doing. But I think here's what this particular incident, to me, that's the micro to the macro, which is, we have to take context. Everything is about context. The Redskins nickname is about context, and we've lost all context. The statues that are put up for Christopher Columbus or Thomas Jefferson or whatever, it's about context. And what happened with Bubba Wallace and the reaction to it is all about context. Like, let's not forget that the week before, they said, hey, no Confederate flags, which I don't know why it took so long, but congratulations to NASCAR. Welcome to the 21st century, right? Okay, so they do that first. Then they're getting ready to race on Sunday before it was canceled or postponed, and somebody pays for a plane, or somebody puts in the back of their plane, you know, the Confederate flag, and they fly it over the head. So now you create this tension after a decision was made, which it was already tense. Then you're Bubba Wallace, and you hear there's a noose in your garage and you don't see it. It becomes a game of telephone, and you're like, wait, it's in my garage, hanging over my car. Like, so I think that it's really important that while Bubba Wallace's reaction when he was on with like Don Lemon and a couple other people was over the top, and I do think it missed the mark, and it was unwilling. And the term hoax is, I think, a little strong. I just think it was a misunderstanding is really what happened. I give Bubba Wallace more of a pass than I give other people a pass because of the context, because it was the first race where there were people there and there weren't supposed to be Confederate flags, and somebody did fly a Confederate flag over the Sunday race before the Monday. And look, my net takeaway from a lot of these things, which is the net is all these NASCAR drivers, like, they don't want to be considered racist. They want to lock arm in arm with all, like, look, we just want to race and we want to have a great time and we want to make a lot of money and we don't care what the color of your skin is, which is my net from a lot of these things. 99% of humanity is against racism. They really are. And we have a tendency to hyper-focus on the smallest infinitesimal percentage, which it's like white supremacist marches. They've been in this country forever. They're smaller, really, than ever. They feel louder than ever because we amplify it with social media and with traditional media. And I think that we always have to take context into a remark, into a nickname, into a reaction that paints a much clearer picture for what really happened.
For Bubba Wallace, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb, in for Dan and the Danettes, it turned out to be a moment of incredible of forwardness for NASCAR with whatever this, even though the noose wasn't put there for him. The powerful photo of him on the track with all the drivers with their masks on behind him showing, you know, we are for stamping out racism. We drive together. We stand behind Bubba Wallace. It's not just about that. You're also talking about the Confederate flag controversy that was not even in the background of this. I mean, this is forefront. Here's the Confederate flag controversy, and here is the noose in Bubba Wallace's garage. The two were kind of melded together because this is, hey, we want to stamp out racism. So, okay, so this is why Bubba Wallace is talking to people, and this is why I think you talk about his interview with Don Lemon and in other aspects, other interviews he did. I think this is why there's been that bit of backlash because Bubba Wallace went on and did these interviews and didn't really recognize the fact that, okay, this wasn't meant there for you. This was something where Bubba Wallace wanted to stand up and say, this is my chance. When am I ever going to get a chance to talk about equality and stamping out racism and being and us being inclusionary? This is my moment to do it. And the Confederate flag is really what we're talking about, as well as the noose in my garage. So I think that's why he went forward with the strategy he had doing the interviews. And I could see where that turned some people off, going, oh, well, he's got to just at least admit the noose wasn't there. I can't believe it. But what he was doing was really just saying, hey, we're all in it to end racism. Look at me and all of our drivers who are here together doing this. And I think that's what got lost in the message, is just that, oh, he's got to apologize for it. He's got to say this. He's got to say this. No, he's just putting out a message of being inclusionary for race. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And if that's what comes out of this, that suddenly NASCAR, as you said, joined the 21st century, then I think that's great. If this is where we're at, and I'm actually looking at the selfie he took right now that keeps playing on the story in the background of the Donald Trump tweet story, I think that's overwhelmingly positive for NASCAR and for sports in general going forward.
I do. I mean, like, look, was it a little uncomfortable in how over the top and defiant he was about how sure he was and how he felt? Yes. Okay, but again, I don't necessarily know. Like, there's a difference there between, like, an outright apology and, hey, man, I freaked out a little bit. But again, like, my net takeaway is, you know, all these people had my back, and that's really what's important, right? Really what's important is, and it's also, I think it's also important to recognize that I would hope the largest percentage of NASCAR fans are not, in fact, racist. They're not. That is one thing that I think, you know, Trump is capitalizing on, is there is a pushback from some to which you're like, look, it's okay. It's very, very, it's okay to not agree with everything of the progressive left and not be a racist. You know, there's an in between, you know, everything is bad and America is bad and or you're a racist, right? There's a whole huge span in between. And I think that's one of the things that Bubba Wallace could have sort of capitalized on, which, if you actually take it as you and I do, as what happened, that's, I think, what happened, which is, like, I'm sure there's guys that don't align with Bubba Wallace politically or with, you know, the super far left politically, but are good gentlemen, humans who just want to race or just want to, as fans, just want to support NASCAR or whatever. Like, look, there are parts of the story, and, you know, Riot Music's producing this version of the Dan Patrick Show here on Fox Sports Radio with Jason Smith. I'm Doug Gottlieb. There are parts of the story that at the moment that it happened, I was sitting here going like, this doesn't seem right. Right? It just, there was nobody in the garages because there's only 5,000 people in a 100,000 seat stadium, and there's cameras everywhere. There's just, why would it, that would be the dumbest crime of the century in terms of if you don't want to get caught. So that part just didn't seem right to me. And I do think kind of to go back, and I would counter you to what was NASCAR to do. NASCAR could have taken a breath and said, all right, hold on. Like, let's check the cameras. Let's see who is here. This is one of the things that we're doing now with political marches, which is we can want justice, but justice isn't vigilante justice. Justice isn't, I think I know what happened because I saw it on a cell phone camera or even saw it on a body camera, and I determined that's exactly what happened. Justice is investigation. Justice in many cases is, okay, now it goes to court. Then there's 12 jurors, and there's a trial. And then when it comes out, then there's the ruling, and maybe there's the appeal. Like, that's what justice looks like. It isn't jumping to conclusions and determining everybody's a racist or everybody's not a racist, whatever. I do think, though, the net takeaway is NASCAR's united in trying to be viewed differently than the traditional view of NASCAR is. And you can try and deny this all you want, but NASCAR is widely considered a Southern sport. It was the home of Confederate flags. Not all people were racist, but it's the whitest sport in America, right? And so you sit there and you could have a predetermined bias if you're someone of color. That while it may not be reasonable in facts, it could be reasonable in feelings. And NASCAR's trying to eliminate some of that. And I wouldn't take the bait if I was Bubba Wallace. And I would just go like, hey, look, all my brothers supported me and we're just going to keep racing. And we want the support of all fans, especially ones that just want to see great racing.
You know, and now that's going to be the big question is what happens with NASCAR now coming off of this? Well, how do they deal with this tweet? And I would hope that NASCAR, as you said, Bubba, look, we want to race. We want to be together. I would hope that NASCAR would learn of the missteps of the NFL. When President Trump first started tweeting about kneeling the national anthem, it was, oh, my God, the president is tweeting about us. Oh, my God, what are we going to do? And it was, they were scattered, and they had no game plan. And it was, wait a minute. And then you hear, you know, many, many people online say, I'm never going to watch the NFL again, and this may be why ratings are going down and all of this crazy stuff. And the NFL didn't know where to go. Why is the president attacking us on this when this was a topic that had really been settled, right? It wasn't a front burner story when the president brought it back up, but the NFL didn't know how to deal with it. Now, we're years later, and obviously the aftermath of the killing of George Floyd has made us different, but the NFL has decided we're going to stand behind our players. And we understand that not everybody's going to agree with this, but we're behind our players. That's how we're going to go forward. And also, you know, 3 years later, you realize that President Trump tweets about everything. You know, I mean, he's probably he's on from that. Now, obviously, he's doing this. He wants to fire up his base.
Yes.
You know, that this is what he's trying to do.
Yes.
But in the end, if NASCAR ignores it, it's not like we're suddenly, now we're going to be in a big back and forth, and this is the front burner story. Something else is going to happen that's going to take President Trump's attention away, and maybe he circles back and tweets about it at some point, however it is. But I think the NFL would say, boy, if we had just ignored it, everything would have been fine. And I think NASCAR would say, if we take that tack of it, and just he said what he said, we're going to ignore it, move on and race. And we're about racing, and we said what we said, and we're going on. I think that's the right thing to do. This is what we're doing.
I would agree. But to this point, just about everybody else has taken the bait. And I do think, like, I do think the flag thing, there's enough people who are bothered by people kneeling before the flag. They just are. I think it's a different, but all these things are the same, which is our brethren in the media always take the bait. And I'm wondering if NASCAR does as well.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show again. This story just coming in now, President Trump calling out Bubba Wallace and NASCAR in a tweet, asking for Bubba Wallace to apologize to the NASCAR drivers who came to his aid, only to find out the news situation was a hoax. And he says that and the flag decision has caused lowest ratings ever. We'll have more on this story throughout the show today. But coming up next, we got Rick Bucher stopping by as the NBA is getting set to report to the bubble in Orlando. Is everybody still all in on it? We got a couple of teams closing their facilities this week because of COVID-19 concerns. Keep it right here for all this and more. This is Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, you know, I mean, even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I can eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? Or, I don't know, take over a minute to down a 2-liter? Well, if you have, then you're going to love Pick 6. It's the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how you play it during the playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they will have more or less of a stat, rebounds, points, assists, and more. Also, you track your picks, play against others for a shot to win at some big cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now. Use the promo code DPSHOW for a chance to win huge cash prizes. That's code DPSHOW. Only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And a big day in the NBA, as now things are starting to get tight, as teams are getting set to report to the Orlando bubble. We have a couple of teams who have shut down their own practice facilities, the Bucks and the Kings, the latest two teams, due to coronavirus concerns. You have players talking about the nervous anxiousness surrounding the NBA bubble that there is. And joining us now on the hotline to help us break it all down, Bleacher Report, Fox Sports 1, NBA insider Rick Bucher. Rick, what's happening, man?
Not a whole lot. I'm not in the bubble, but I am positive that I am negative.
All right.
Okay, so I guess look, there's like a dry run here with the TBT, the basketball tournament, and they've had some issues. They had four teams that couldn't even participate. Now a fifth team, Eberline Drive, is not even going to get to play because they had one guy test positive. What about some of these NBA teams that have had some players test positive? Will they then rejoin their teams in Orlando?
My understanding is they're going to attempt to do that, but it's a very fluid situation. And now that we've been talking about this for weeks, and there's been a certain degree of optimism that they are going to get this done. I know that the NBA is still committed to finding a way to get this done, but now that we're actually having to make it happen, now that it's the reality of guys have to show up, they have to stay, virus-free, and they have to have this collection of people stay virus-free. They're finding the challenge in doing that. So I still believe that they're going to find a way to get this done, but it is, and I can tell you, the people in the league are more concerned that they're not going to be able to as much as they want to, simply because of the protocol that they've put in place in terms of the standards, that if you test positive, then you got to be quarantined for 2 weeks. And all we need at this point are some significant players testing positive or having to be quarantined for a couple weeks. And this whole thing could go sideways. So we'll see, but it is not a good sign that teams are having to shut down their facilities, because it makes it infinitely harder for these guys to get back into the shape that they need to be in. It's still not getting back to any sort of 5-on-5 yet, but guys need to get in. Look, there's for those who think every player has his own home gym and his own home court, those are, you know, maybe a dozen guys in the league have that readily available. Most of them need their facility open in order for them to get the kind of even individual training that they need to prepare for a season.
Do you think, Rick, that because Doug and I had this conversation a few minutes ago, we got into it about the being in the bubble versus not being in the bubble. At this point, does getting there help so much? Because right now there's so many problems with players trying to stay healthy when they're living everyday lives in addition to playing, that once they get to the bubble and the NBA is in charge of things and you're in that quarantine, that they can keep a lid on COVID-19 and we can actually focus on the basketball?
Well, certainly I would hope that they'd have a better chance in the bubble. I know we're going to Florida, and my suggestion is they should be doing this in Montana. It has the fewest cases. Build your own little park there or facility. Certainly we got a hoop up in time for Jordan to make Space Jam. You're telling me that we couldn't do that someplace. I know getting players to Montana versus Florida might be a little more difficult. Then again, we don't have fans, and they're not supposed to be going crazy anyway. So I mean, it's partly in jest, but it's like, how badly do you want to get this done? And that's the thing that is going to have to come home. How badly do the players want to get this done and to play? Because the rules and the protocol and everything, the resources that the NBA needs to keep the league safe enough to play, they are going to be there. It's going to be there. It's going to be a question of, do the players adhere to that? or does human nature take over? And as we've seen in various places in the country, our younger citizens feeling like, hey, I'm asymptomatic, or I'm young and it's not going to influence me, or hey, I want to live my life. That's what has kicked this thing sideways. And our, the players in the NBA, by and large, fall into that demographic. So we will see whether guys are willing to do it. But I think in some ways, these warning shots now perhaps could send the message, hey, we can't mess around. If we want to get this done, we're going to have to do it right.
There is the one thing, though, Buke, like, are these guys – really not just at risk, forget about it, of contracting it, of yep. getting it, but are they actually at risk if they get it? Right? Like there doesn't seem to be any statistical data that tells you that if they get it, these guys are in danger of not just losing their lives, but of losing substantial lung capacity. That just doesn't, there doesn't seem to be the data to support that.
Yeah. If you really dig into the medical issues, no, but this is the NBA is not, it's not just a matter of, is there damage going to be done, but what kind of example are we setting for the rest of the country in terms of how to approach this? If we simply, and by the way, it may not affect the players, but we've got 65-year-old Mike D'Antoni who's going to be there. We have any number of assistant coaches in their 50s, other coaches in their 50s and their 60s, there are plenty of people that could contract it and would be severely in danger if they did. And so that's the issue. It's not just, you know, the players will be safe or the players would not not suffer any, you know, dire consequences as a result of having it. It's that the NBA community is bigger than that.
No, I get it, but I mean, like, look, that is a, if you're a coach that old, either, you know, you coach from the third row, you know, wear gloves and a mask, or have somebody else coach. But I just something doesn't line up with some of these guys who say, you know, family, because we never question a family, like, we're never going to do that. But the truth is that, like, you have better medical care there than you would have
right.
at home. At home, you're not living in a bubble. You're not quarantined at home.
Right.
So the idea that you have a stronger likelihood of contracting it for your family, not as much. It's really more, you know, people 60 years plus, and those yeah. are the people that have to make their own individual decisions.
Yeah, well, look, I'm not debating that, and I've said it. Like, guys, NBA players will be safer in the bubble than they would be anyplace else. So there's not the excuse that, hey, I'm worried about contracting this, so I don't want to go to Florida, or I don't want to go to the bubble, or whatever it is. I do think that's an excuse, but it still comes down to be in the bubble and then be smart, because, you know, I mean, I've had GMs tell me this, like, the great concern is guys are going to try to be, you know, not, it's not about family. It's trying to sneak people in that aren't supposed to be in, or sneaking out, or that, you know, especially once they get there, and we're talking about a 3-month adventure here.
Sure.
At some point, guys get a little restless, or they think, ah, oh, it's not that bad, or I'm okay, or, you know, I need a night out, or I need to bring somebody in. And then who knows what happens, because there's going to be testing throughout, and all you need is one case like that. And then the NBA has to deal with a potential PR nightmare.
Who is let's get to the actual teams. Avery Bradley not going. Lou Williams still TBD. I'm thinking he's going. How yeah. does it change your perspective on the West with Avery Bradley not going?
It does some. I mean, look, it doesn't, because I've always thought that the Clippers, because of their age and their depth, and their relative size, that they've always been my favorite in the West. I do believe, as I start to think about the dynamics of playing again, that the ability to play slower And it's funny because we've gone to this small ball league. I think size is going to be a huge factor. Having to play this many games and having to play at a very high level and an intense level right away, I think teams that can control tempo and that can play a little bit slower and still be effective are the teams that are going to have an advantage. So, you know, I like Toronto. I think Boston is hurt by that. Philadelphia, you know, if those guys come back in any kind of a shape, I think suddenly they have an advantage that they didn't previously have. The Lakers still, but Dwight Howard has to be there. And the other concern that I have is age-wise. The older teams, I have my concerns about, can you get all your guys, can Rajon Rondo, Danny Green, can they get revved up and in the kind of condition that they need to be in without suffering injury? How quickly can you get there? And that's where I think the depth is a huge factor, because you're not going to want to play anybody, you know, over 30, 32 minutes, because if you have to play anybody 40 in order for your team to be at its best, then I think that's a recipe for disaster.
Rick Bucci with us here. Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Okay, Rick, so do this real quick. If I said to you, fill in the blank, with all this stuff mm-hmm. going on right now, you have the favorites, you have the Bucks, the Clippers, the Lakers are still at the top. If I said to you, mm-hmm. it wouldn't surprise me if surprise team X won the NBA title. What team would you tell me? Surprise team that wouldn't really surprise you if they won the NBA title.
Oh, I can't believe I'm saying this.
The Knicks are not there, just so you know. The Knicks are not there.
He's going to say the Rockets or something like that.
The Knicks are not there.
He's going to say the Rockets or something.
No, you know what? I have a hard time with the Rockets, again, because it runs counter to my idea. Yes, they play slow, but they're small. And they have to really rely on James and Russell, and I hate to say it, but like James is one of those guys that I could see breaking protocol.
You think the guy who has his jersey hanging in the rafters of a strip club? You think?
Okay, you said it. You said it. I didn't. Actually, you know,
is there a betting line for most likely to contract COVID?
Oh wow.
Well, there's lines on everything. All right, so go ahead. Yeah, I apologize.
It's a fair point. There's so much that I don't like about them, but the Philadelphia 76ers, I think, have a better shot. Like, better shot than I ever thought that they did as a result of the return.
I'm gonna offer the counter thought here for a second, Rick.
Okay.
What's the longest road trip you've ever been on with a friend? Yeah, did you go, like, you were a Dartmouth guy when you graduated, did you go backpacking through Europe?
No, I drove across after I graduated. Yeah. I drove across the country with a buddy.
Were you guys still friends at the end of that drive?
Yes, we were, but we didn't we were still friends, but we
took a break.
But the relationship was strained for a while, and yes. we didn't talk for a couple months.
Okay, so that's kind of my point, which is like one Ben Simmons in terms of likelihood of breaking a protocol.
Yeah,
he'd be on the list. Secondly, like there's some personality quirks between he and Embiid, which, you know, again, like normally you go in your own cabs, you go your own Ubers or whatever, you go your own way. Yeah. But I do think that for the Clippers, who hadn't yet totally come together, it could really help. For the 76ers that had been together and had seemingly struggled to fit all these personalities on and off the floor together, I actually think that could hurt them.
Well, if you like, so I
you're just around each other too much.
No, my team. See, I don't think they're a surprise team. You were asking me for a shock team, like my. The team that I could see this winning easily for a number of reasons that do fit with all of my theories are the Toronto Raptors. But I don't know if you look at them as a shock team if they won at all. I mean, they would be defending their championship successfully. But they don't have chemistry issues. They have size. Certainly they have experience. And I love that it's a sign that, you know, they're already in Florida. They already took their team down there. It's a little odd that they already took their team down there considering what Florida is, but the fact that they've done that and we haven't heard a peep about any issues from anybody on that team about doing that, to me is all a positive sign. So but they've been a team that I thought had a legitimate shot at the championship all year long. So I was trying to go out of the box, but your points about chemistry are very good. And I kind of knew there was something about Philly that I just couldn't get on that. But from the size standpoint, I still stand that they have better opportunity because of their potential of the way that they play. My other caveat with that is it's hard for me to believe that Joel Embiid has been staying in tip-top shape all this time. I know there's been Instagram stuff out there where he's in the weight room, but doing the hard kind of aerobic conditioning necessary, it's just not what I've known Joel Embiid to be. I hope I'm wrong, but that's one other reason why, as much as I want to go with my theory of size is going to stand out, and they are one of the biggest teams in the league, there are a lot of other factors that intangible factors that could send it the other way.
He's on Twitter at Rick Bucher. That is at Rick Bucher, Fox Sports 1, Bleacher Report, NBA insider, about to take a cross-country trip to Orlando with his three best friends. So wish him luck if you see him in his car.
And after that Philly explanation, I'm going to backpedal there the whole way.
Take it easy, buddy. We'll talk to you.
See you guys.
Great stuff there from Rick Bucher. You know, I've done one cross-country trip. Luckily, it was with my wife. So we got along well. We drove across country. But at the end, it was, okay, we got to kind of get there. You know, let's get there. I see the finish line. Let's go. I know we can do a couple of days here and here. Let's just get there. I'm kind of ready to go.
Yeah, we haven't. I actually want to do that this summer with my kids. I want to do the RV thing. I've wanted to do it forever. I don't have an RV, but I'd like to have an RV. I don't want to buy an RV because I'm cheap, but because I have friends that have had a really cool RV, and after a couple of summers, they were like, "Yeah," but I don't know. I want to do it, but I do. I've done some cross country journeys. I've actually, you know, like, look, when I was
You can rent one, you know.
Yeah, I know.
We've done that, and you'll go for like 3 or 4 days and feel like you're gone for a week and a half.
Yeah,
that's what that vacation is kind of like.
So, but I will say this in terms of basketball team and different personalities. When I was in high school, the AAU circuit was you play one tournament in Long Beach, one tournament in Vegas, and one tournament in Phoenix, right? And they were, you know, three different weeks. Those were the open weeks. And by the way, you'd have a camp. You know, there's either the biggest camps, that was ABCD or Nike at the time, and then there was a smaller camp. So you'd actually be with the same people for a better part of a month. And I'm telling you that every year we got to Phoenix and there was a fight. There was like always a fight. And that was 1 month. You're talking about 3 months. That will challenge the chemistry of any team.
Twitter at How About a Fresca, Doug at Gottlieb Show, Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. We'll have more bubble talk coming up in a bit, but straight ahead, we have a big story coming out of Major League Baseball today. One team really not happy after what's gone on the past couple of days. We got it right here for you next. Fox.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
All right, everybody, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. I know what you're saying. Flag on the play. You've already talked about that. But there's just so much more good stuff in this game. In Monopoly Go, you can team up with friends for time tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. The more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock.
And there's so much more to get. You can get unique stickers. You could trade with friends to compete albums for big prizes. There's cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with. I was always a battleship guy. You know, you get those pieces, like there was the hat, there was the shoe.
Oh, same.
There was I was always a battleship guy, or the car. You know what, too, is funny about a battleship? It's one of the only Monopoly pieces that you find that's not just a household item.
Wow, I haven't even thought about that.
Yeah, most people don't have a battleship at home, but you have a car, you have a hat, you have a shoe, you have all those things. Anyway, you could also get hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults. That's always fun. Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges. A ton include their own unique mini games like digging for treasure or a robot Pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that will help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it for free right now on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jason Smith, Doug Gottlieb in for Dan and the Danettes. Thanks to Rick Bucher stopping by a few minutes ago on the Mercedes-Benz hotline. Do you suffer from lead foot? Do goosebumps appear for no reason? Stop living with uninspired performance. Visit MBUSA.com/AMG. That's MBUSA.com/AMG. Find out if a Mercedes-AMG coupe, sedan, or SUV is right for you. Mercedes-AMG, driving performance. So a few minutes ago, we talked to Rick Bucher about life in the NBA bubble, and now life in Major League Baseball is starting to take a bit of a turn. As today, the Washington Nationals have closed their camp. GM Mike Rizzo making the announcement on Twitter a few moments ago, saying that because of the MLB testing protocol, they don't feel safe opening camp because they are still waiting for their players' COVID-19 tests. Quote, "Without accurate and timely testing, it is simply not safe for us to continue with summer camp. Major League Baseball needs to work quickly to resolve issues with their process and their lab." And Doug, this is something we had heard some players talk about over the weekend, that boy, after the first couple of days of going through this process, I don't know that Major League Baseball quite has their act together on this.
No, but I just think there's a certain reasonable nature here, right? Like, there's a bigger question. The David Price question is really interesting, right? Here's a guy who has a $210 million overall contract. A guy who, it should be pointed out, is giving $1,000 to, I believe, 200 minor league players who lost their job, right? Mm-hmm. That's $200,000. My math's not great, but $200,000, that's a lot of money. Like, that's a lot of money to guys that you don't know. anyway, where he's not pleased opting out, you know, because of COVID concerns. I just think there's a reasonable nature, which is like, yeah, I'm a little, you know, Mike Trout, his wife's pregnant. I'm a little off by this, but I'm going to trust that there's some kinks. They'll get it worked out. And that's kind of where I am with it. Like, if you're reasonable about it and you understand that this is all, new territory for all of us, especially these sports franchises, that's not how they're not usually built for these things. You generally figure it out. And I think that's a reasonable nature. Like, look, I guess the question is this, Jason, and this is a question I have for you. I know my answer. If we operate on the premise that there is no vaccine, at least until 2021, and this is out there and you're not going to be able to maintain a completely clean bubble, do you think we should have sports? Because if you're going to have sports, you're going to have positive COVID-19 tests. That's the way right. It goes.
Certain sports I think we can have, and certain sports I think are going to be impossible to have. You know, there's certain sports, you know, we've gotten back golf, we've gotten back NASCAR, we've gotten back UFC, and we're going to have those sports all the way through. I'd like to think that baseball is the most, I would say, most COVID-friendly, I guess, for lack of a better term.
No question.
Could play and not worry as much about infection because you're not as close. You're not, you know, swapping bodily fluids mainly. It's, you know, where the NBA and the NFL, you're going to have that.
Yes, and they're playing in Korea. They've been playing in Korea for 2 months. Like, we can do this. Clearly, it can be done. I mean, baseball, with the exception of the baseball, you don't have to come anywhere near anybody, especially in an empty stadium. So, like, I think being cautious is reasonable. I think freaking out, especially in baseball, is being unreasonable.
Yeah, but now's the freak out time. This is the
The time to take a breath and to go like, all right, like, let's, what's the problem?
Yeah, but now that you're here and doing, I think now that you're here and doing it and you actually have to do it and it's not an idea in the abstract of, oh, yeah, of course we want to play baseball. Well, now you're here and you're playing and everybody's wearing masks. Oh, I don't know. There's that freak out time that's just going to happen. And I think you got to get past that freak out time.
Okay. Yes, you have to get past it. And I don't know. Shutting down camps, I don't think is actually the way to go about it. But I don't know how dysfunctional this process is.
Again, this new story, the Nationals have shut down their camp because they have not gotten back their COVID-19 tests, and they want Major League Baseball to have better issues with being able to process tests and their lab. This is a developing story we'll continue on with. But coming up next, boy, one tweet from the president earlier today has one sport all kinds of in the news. This is next on Fox.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.